This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
It is a crazy, crazy day in America, of course, as the president last night says it's time to stop the looting, the violence that's happening in America. And if they don't, he will. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. 855-839-1210, our number. And I promise I will get to your phone calls because I know you want to weigh in. But I'm very, very excited about our guest today, because you know what? It seems to me like as people lose their minds, we have to listen to people, the voices of people like Marie Fisher. I want to welcome to the program. Marie Fisher is a member of Project 21. Marie, good morning and welcome to Philadelphia.
Good morning.
So first of all, I want to say thank you for the work that you do. And I want to say thank you for speaking out against all of the looting and property destruction and violence that's out there. First of all, could you tell us a little bit about Project 21?
Sure. Project 21, we are part of the National Public Policy Research Center. And we are basically a group of Black conservatives who are believe in the entrepreneurial spirit. And our purpose is to bring that voice to the Black community.
And when you hear white liberals like Chrissy Teigen, for example, come out and say that she will bail out some of these people who have been arrested for looting and rioting and that sort of thing. What do you want to say to that?
Actually, I did respond directly to her Twitter. I said, you know, I was disgusted with it because I felt like here she is bailing out people who are tearing down these communities instead of, why aren't you giving money or raising funds for like Black and minority business owners whose whole purpose is to, you know, build up these communities? Why are you paying people to or tearing it down?
I've been playing some audio today, Marie, of people in Philadelphia and other places who've just been devastated by watching their neighborhoods burn down and their livelihoods being lost. And it's awful. Of course, now people in the media turn around and say, yeah, but this is how you have change by this kind of violence and destruction. And this is the only way, because words don't move people. You have to have this kind of destruction. Otherwise, there won't actually be change. What do you say to that?
I was going to say, well, then did everything Dr. Martin Luther King do, was that in vain? I mean, if you recall, he didn't do violent protests, and change occurred. So to me, I think they're just, you know, they're full of it. I mean, that will not cause change. It will cause the reverse. People are just, they're going to look and see that, you know, you're destroying, you're looting. What change will that occur? The only change will occur is that we will all pay for this in the end, either in higher prices, taxes, whatever. But you're not going to change anything. It makes you look like, I hate to say it, it makes some people look like animals.
When we talk about what happened to George Floyd, and I appreciate what the president said last night about the fact that you know, what's happening with these protests is really dishonoring the memory of George Floyd. And I think that's a very, very key point. His brother said the same thing yesterday. You know, he said, all this is happening right now is just really, it's destroying the memory of my brother. And we're not talking about him anymore and what happened to him. When you think about that and you understand the anger that's out there, what's the positive message that we can offer in the wake of that anger that people are feeling today?
Well, the positive message is hopefully not the violence, but the whole situation. Maybe that will have people talk more, interact more. I mean, I look at it this way. you know, for years, whenever you had issues with police brutality, you never had the police come out and say anything. Usually, like, so you have that thin blue line. But I've seen more police officers come out and speak against this action. I've seen more police officers, you know, trying to work with people since this situation. So when you look at that, that might be the positive that comes out, that maybe there will be true reform. Because to say there's not any police brutality to anybody of any race is wrong. Is, you know, you're being, you know, ignorant of the situation. But hopefully out of all this, there will be real change. Not out of the violence, but unfortunately what happened to, you know, to the victim, that maybe there will be real change.
I agree with you. Marie Fisher, Project 21, Black Leadership Network. She is the president of the, are you still the vice president of the Maryland Federation of Republican Women?
Yeah, I'm third vice president.
Third vice president. Nice. And of course, you're very active with the with Project 21. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. I think you were also on, were you on Fox News as well? Is that right?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, well, you should be. You should be, because you. I know that they covered this, and I think it was the Chicks on the Right who sent me the press release from your organization. So you guys are doing great work. Can you tell us where we can find Project 21, Marie?
Oh, sure. All you have to do is go to www.project21.org.
Great. Well, thanks for making the time this morning in Philadelphia. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, now, what Marie just said is very, very key, right? The universal condemnation of what happened to George Floyd. This American who had his neck crushed by this police officer for 9 minutes, he's on the ground handcuffed. I mean, you heard John McNesby, the head of the Philadelphia FOP Lodge 5. He said it was absolutely wrong. You've heard the president say it's wrong. You've heard Rush Limbaugh say it's wrong. You've heard Mark Levin say it's wrong. It's wrong. We all agree. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing that we're all in agreement on that fact. It really is. It really is. And I know that that is one of those things that is a horrible thing to say sometimes, right? It's like you turn around and you go, wait a minute. Out of something so sad, what is the good that can come out of that? It's that. It's that everybody's united in saying that is absolutely, that should never have happened. That should never happen again to another American citizen. White, black, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. American citizens have rights. This is not how we treat people in this country. That's a beautiful thing. That can be the legacy of George Floyd. Not if this rioting and looting happens. That'll be the legacy of George Floyd. And that's what his brother was saying yesterday. He's saying, please don't make this my brother's legacy. Don't make this his legacy. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And how is it that this cop, who is now no longer a cop, this former cop, and by the way, I want to read a couple tweets here. This is very important. I want to do a quick check-in on social media. Thanks to our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Captain Moonlight 77 says, Rich, I am a cop and I was down at MSB when they lit police cars on fire. The moment things calmed down a bit and the fire department were able to put them out, it was a line. Literally a line of white kids with black masks lined up to take photos while standing on the cars. A black guy who was just a regular protester came up to all of us and said, look at this S, man. This is a damn Instagram photo for them. Most of the really nasty protesters have been white kids. The peaceful people just want to be heard and have justice for Floyd. We all do. I got another email from Dave L. 1972 on Twitter. Great friend of the show. He says, what happened to George Floyd is pure evil. And to refer to his killer as a police officer feels wrong because the decent men and women who wear the badge and actually do their jobs and don't murder. He's exactly right. So how do we hold bad cops accountable? Why was this guy with 18 different complaints against him, various investigations, and he was still on the job? Why? Like, why is it today that I have to have this guy associated with my dad, who's a hero, and never violated anybody's civil rights, and went into ground zero, and now he's got all these, you know, lung diseases, and his friends all do, and all these people that I grew up with are like, you know, uncles and aunts to me, all these cops and good people, and they have to be associated with this you know, piece of garbage, human scum who killed a man like this. Why does it happen? How does it happen? And one of those things, the reason why, again, is because of the United States Supreme Court, because they wrote law from the bench. They wrote law from the bench. It's something that they created called qualified immunity. And they have a chance to overturn it, by the way. They have a chance to overturn it. It shields government officials from being sued for discretionary actions performed within their official capacity. Unless their actions violated clearly established federal law or constitutional rights. But to prove that, you've got to prove another case. They've got to prove another case around them that's a similar case where a judge ruled that was, in fact, a violation of somebody's constitutional rights. This law shields bad cops, and it's got to go. And the Supreme Court once again wrote law from the bench. John Fund at the National Review has a great piece on this, as does CJ Ciamarella at Reason.com. And he said the Supreme Court could announce as early as today, which was yesterday, that it's taking up several cases involving the doctrine. The court considered 13 different petitions for cases involving qualified immunity at a conference hearing yesterday. Qualified immunity, created by the Supreme Court in the 1970s, shields police and other government officials from liability in civil rights lawsuits when the illegality of their actions was not clearly established at the time of the offense. And you have to remember something, too. You know, one of my favorite books I've ever read is called Men in Black. It's written by Mark Levin. And I always recommend that people ask me, like, what's a great book to read about courts and everything? I always say read Men in Black. Mark talks about how these judges, especially in this era, the Warren Court, very, very liberal court in the 60s and 70s, they created a lot of laws from the bench. You know, one of those laws being Roe v. Wade, for example, which was written. It's a law that they wrote. They created a law from the bench. They wrote it. They literally wrote law from the Supreme Court. And they did a lot of that in that era. The Warren Court was notorious for that. And they did the same thing here with qualified immunity. They did the exact same thing. And the standard that they created is so high for civil accountability for government officials. And it's absolutely crazy. As U.S. District Circuit Judge Don Willett wrote in a 2018 decision, quote, to some observe, and by the way, I want to say something about Don Willett. Don Willett was elevated by the President of the United States, Donald Trump, to the U.S. Circuit Court. He's a outstanding judge. Outstanding judge, one of the best out there, one of the best legal minds out there. And I am really happy that President Trump elevated him. It's one of the great legacies of Donald Trump's presidency, which is going to be the courts. And we've got guys like Don Willett on the bench now. You contrast him and his thinking here with the lefties on the court in the 70s who gave this power to government officials a basic get out of jail free card. This is what Justice U.S. Circuit Court Judge, he was a justice down in Texas, but now he's a U.S. Circuit Court Judge. He said, quote, to some observers, qualified immunity smacks of unqualified impunity, letting public officials duck consequences for bad behavior, no matter how palpably unreasonable, as long as they were the first to behave badly. Think about that for a second, right? Think about that for a second in the idea now that when you have this notion that as long as you're acting in your official government capacity, we've got to prove that you had it sort of like the mindset to violate somebody's constitutional rights, even no matter what the outcome was, no matter anything. In reviewing a claim from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, Circuit Judge Tom Willett says in particular, by owing a legal Deus ex machina, the clearly established law prong of qualified immunity analysis, the violation eludes vindication. I write separately to register my disquiet over this kudzu-like creep of the modern immunity regime. Doctrinal reform is arduous, and the entrenched judge-made doctrine of qualified immunity seems Kevlar-coated, making even tweak-level tinkering doubtful, but immunity ought not be immune from thoughtful reappraisal. To some observers, he writes, qualified immunity smacks of unqualified impunity. Merely proving a constitutional deprivation doesn't cut it. Plaintiffs must cite functionally identical precedent that places the legal question beyond debate to every reasonable officer. Put differently, it's immaterial that someone acts unconstitutionally if no prior case held such misconduct unlawful. So you could literally have somebody violate somebody's civil rights, long they have a badge on, and there's no other case that said that they couldn't do that, they're allowed to get away with it. That is qualified immunity. That's it at the heart of it. Unless there's another case that says that person, that cop can't do that, then the cop gets away with it. That's not right, because what it does is it shields bad cops. We know that the good cops are the majority, or the overwhelming majority of the cops. We know that it's like 99%. We know that. So the question becomes, why does a guy like this cop, this former cop now, who killed George Floyd, why was he allowed to stay on the force? How did it happen? It happens because of stuff like this. It happens because he can abuse people's civil rights and he can abuse force, but he doesn't get in trouble for it because of qualified immunity. And the Supreme Court of the United States created this standard. They created this standard, just like they created the third trimester standard for abortion in this country. They created this. Same court, same exact court, by the way. Literally the same Supreme Court that created this notion of this penumbra of privacy, created this notion of qualified immunity. That if a government official is acting in his capacity, violates your constitutional rights, oh well, sorry, he was acting in his official capacity. What are you going to do? I can't think of anything more big government than that, can you? I can't think of anything more totalitarian than that, can you? Shielded to abuse your constitutional rights by the Supreme Court of the United States. Not Congress, not a law that was passed, not a constitutional amendment, the Supreme Court. And it's complicated to get into some of the cases that the Supreme Court is facing, but let me just make this point very, very clear. Qualified immunity aims to balance competing policy goals, right? And he says, and Justice Don Willette writes, and I concede it enjoys special favor of the Supreme Court, which seems untroubled by any one-sidedness. Even so, I add my voice to the growing cross-ideological chorus of jurists and scholars urging recalibration of contemporary immunity jurisprudence and its real-world implementation. And the good news is that when you look at the Constitution of the United States of America, when you look at the fact that we've got this exception here for the Constitution, and you think about some of the justices that the president has appointed to the bench, like Justice Neil Gorsuch, who has also been an absolute critic of qualified immunity. Yeah. So that's how you get change right there. That's a real change right there. One of the most important things that could happen to this country is to say that government officials, and it's not just cops, by the way, any government official can cite qualified immunity. Government officials acting in their capacity don't have the right to abuse your constitutional rights, period. Period. And they don't get to get away with it just because they were acting in official capacity. Nope. Sorry, that is not acceptable in this country. We hold government officials to the same standard as everybody else. They don't get to hide behind their government paperwork, whether it's a cop, whether it's somebody at the IRS, because this applies to every government official, you understand. Qualified immunity. Every government official can claim that. I'm acting in my official capacity. There's nothing you can do about it. Sorry. It's got to stop. Got to end. It's not America. It's not America. We are supposed to have in this country equal justice under the law. And to have equal justice under the law, everybody has to be treated the same way. Everybody has to be treated fairly. And you cannot have a system where some people are shielded and others are not. That is the big story of the day today, brought to you by our friends at DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is privacy simplified for you. You want to not be tracked anymore by all those internet companies that are looking to sell you stuff? I don't blame you, right? Well, DuckDuckGo, that's what they're about. Millions of people enjoy privacy on the internet without any of the trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo is privacy simplified. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Some people have been patiently holding. Joe is in Deptford. Joe, good morning.
Rich, good morning. You're doing an excellent job. Thank you for all the information you bring to the Delaware Valley.
Thank you for that.
I just wanted to give you a call and talk about what's going on right now. You know, we've had a heck of a year so far. You know, we entered in with Russia, 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 and then the impeachment trials, and then the COVID-19 virus. And of course, then we were bringing it up with the riots. But the whole underlying problem here is that the Treasury is monetizing all this with trillions of dollars that we really don't have, that we're pulling out of thin air. And I'm just thinking down the pike of how this is going to affect everybody, because we're really looking at a cost of $8 trillion just for the virus, the COVID virus. Yeah. Virus. What is this going to cost? Let's just look at the city of Philadelphia. I see all these cruisers burning and all. Where do they run it? Like $90,000 a piece? Mm-hmm. And they're burning them up, and the overtime for the police. And, how are we going to pay for all this down the pike? I see higher taxes for every citizen. I see lower benefits. They're going to be looking at Social Security probably by 2029, cutting that 25% if we don't get a grip on what's going on with the Social Security situation with baby boomers retiring. Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the debt. They are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So we've got to address these four issues. These are all coming up later after all this problem that we're having right now. These problems abate, which they will, but the debt and all these money problems are going to be rearing their ugly heads, which is going to cause more chaos.
Yeah.
And I'll tie this into one thing. Lenin said chaos is an instrument of social hygiene. So that's
yeah,
where we're at.
You're exactly right. It's a very, very important point you're making, Joe, and I appreciate your time this morning. And thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it, bud.
Thank you.
You got it. 855-839-1210. Gene is in Lancaster. Gene, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, I couldn't agree with you more on some of these issues. The one issue I wanted to take up with you is an earlier caller had mentioned about why the other three officers aren't being charged. And I think your response was, well, you need to build a case. Well, that's the point. Who's going to build the case? And I think that process is going to be totally different than if it would have been you or I who would have killed a man on the street like that.
Right.
So that's what I think we need to talk about is who's going to build the case and what's that process going to look like. And I appreciate your comments there earlier on about the, what's it called, quantitative immunity or whatever.
Qualified immunity. It is at the heart of this. I'm telling you, qualified immunity. It's something we're going to start having to have a national conversation about. I'm just scratching the surface of this, and it's complicated. And I don't want to put people to sleep this morning, but I will talk more about it in the days to come. My hope is that on Monday, the Supreme Court will announce that it is taking a case that will finally give them the ability to reverse it. But we won't know that till Monday. That's the next time the Supreme Court will put out their orders. But I'm just saying that that is really at the heart of this in so many different ways.
Right, exactly. All right, Rich, have a good one. Thanks again.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for that. And I'll add to your point, which I think is an excellent point, Gene, which is that the symbiotic relationship between prosecutors and police departments oftentimes enables bad cops to get a pass because the prosecutors need the cops and vice versa. You know, something Scott Walker did, the governor Scott Walker, when he was governor of Minnesota years ago was Wisconsin. What he did was years ago, they created a board to look into police shootings, which then would involve the state and not the local prosecutor. That was an interesting way to do it. And maybe something we'll talk more about that in the future. But, you know, obviously that's not a problem in Philadelphia where the district attorney hates the cops. But in other places like that, it's different. And, you know, cops have to balance the fact that they got a very, very tough job to do, and they've got to be safe, and they need to be safe, and they need to make sure that they, will not be hesitant to use their firearm when they need to. Like, that's the thing, you've got to balance. Cops have to feel safe, and they need to be able to feel like if I have to use my service revolver, I need to make sure that they're going to have my back. At the same time, we have to realize that if there's a cop who is abusing somebody's rights, that cop is no longer on the force, period. You got to get rid of that guy. You get rid of that guy, and then it protects all the other police officers. Protects all the other police officers because then people won't be second-guessing their actions. And then also you won't have the cost of the taxpayers of having to pay all these lawsuits out and everything else. And that's the thing, is that I don't know a single cop. I always hear these people say these things like, yeah, but cops protect each other with a thin blue line. That's BS. You know what? That is a bunch of BS. Cops don't like corrupt cops any more than you do. In fact, they have an even more incentive to hate them. They do. I'm telling you. And don't think for a second now that cops are not cognizant of the fact that sometimes this force that's used is totally inappropriate. I know a Philadelphia cop who was telling me a story of another cop who the FBI came into his house. He said, you would have thought, he goes, Rich, you would have thought they were getting El Chapo the way these guys came in. Like 20 FBI agents to come in to get this cop. On a corruption charge, a bribery charge, not even like a, you know, violence charge or anything like that. Cops are people. You know, they're individuals. It's easy to look at them as a group, but they're individuals. They're individual people. And if you look at people, as individuals, and that's a much better way to look at people. A much, much better way to look at people. And on that point of keeping cops safe and keeping civilians safe, the other reform that needs to happen in this country is we need to end no-knock warrants. They put the police lives in danger. They put the public lives in danger. And that is a woman who was killed recently in a no-knock warrant raid. She's one of the people that they've been talking about in the news recently. If the cops have to execute a search warrant, then, or an arrest warrant, you are an innocent person under the Constitution of the United States. The concern, of course, would be that they might go into a place now, there could be weapons, there could be, who knows, right? So they have to just barge in, no knock, just come into the building, and then, you know, it's going to be a chaotic, violent scene, and then they got to get people. And that if you knock, the traditional sense of, you know, it's the police, got a warrant, open up, that it'll give the bad guys times to get their guns and start firing at the cops and everything like that. I understand that mentality. But we also live in a world now where we have lots of technology. We live in a world now where we've got the ability now to be able to have lots and lots and lots of cops around a place. And unlike Waco, we don't need to rush in. There's no rush. We've got all the time in the world. I remember during Waco, my dad telling me, he goes, you know, Rich, he goes, we can always wait him out. You know, he goes, the police can always wait him out. He's like, we got, you know, we got time. We got, and there's a lot more of us. We can wait. I remember that too when that happened. And my dad was so angered by the fact that they rushed in like that into Waco. And he said that to me. I remember that. It was a very, very poignant moment in my development when he said, what's the rush? Why do they have to storm that place? Why can't they just wait? You know, now, obviously, if somebody's life is at risk, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an instance where, and take the warrants, for example, you've got a warrant, you got to serve it on somebody, but that's an innocent person right there. Remember, under our system of justice, that person's innocent, even if it's an arrest warrant. So what I'm saying is you don't need to come storming in anymore. And then people get scared. They don't even know it's the police. Sometimes they start shooting just because people are just coming into their home and you have tragedies that occur. The goal has to be, though, of course, how do we make sure law enforcement's safe serving that warrant? Surround the place, use a drone, look inside. You've already got a warrant to search the premises or get somebody. So there's no Fourth Amendment issue with you looking inside, using cameras, using whatever. If you detect weapons, surround the place. We're here all day, and we're not going anywhere till you come out. Now, obviously, if they start shooting, that's a different matter. And look, like anything else in life, there's always going to be exceptions to every rule. Does that mean that you can never do that? No, of course not. There are going to be some circumstances, but it's being used far too often. And that's why people get hurt. And if you just go to the rule book, what's the rule book? The rule book is the Constitution. How would the founders have liked it if the king had sent the troops to just storm into their houses and go, we have a warrant from the king? They wouldn't have liked that very much, right? That's why the concept was you serve a warrant and it has to be very specific and it has to name the time and manner to be searched and it has to be very to protect the rights of the individual. Nobody's safe when the state just barges in, the state or the feds just crash into a place and start shooting up. Nobody's safe. And that has to stop too. It's a tactic that is an old tactic, does not need to be used anymore. And I know that there are some cops that are going to disagree with me, and that's okay. But I'm looking out for you too, because I don't think any cop wants to deal with the, you know, an innocent person being killed in the crossfire. They don't want to deal with that. I know that. You know, I know cops who've had to deal with stuff like that, and they've had to deal with, you know, that on their conscience, and alcoholism from that, and depression from that, and suicide from that. Everybody thinks like, and there are some, I mean, there are some cops who, if they take a life that they don't really care. I mean, obviously there are some people like that, but there are other cops too, that destroys their whole life. You know, they never get over that. We don't talk about that, but it's like to take a human life, even if it's somebody who is a life worth taking in that sense, still is something that a lot of cops struggle with their whole lives, their entire life. And you never want to put them in a position where they've got to use firepower unless they absolutely have to. Unless they absolutely have to. So I'd rather you have 500 officers surround a place to serve a warrant than have five guys go barging in, shooting. I think that just makes more sense for everybody's safety and security. And then you don't have to risk any, you know, you're lowering risk. You're not eliminating it. You're lowering risk. Well, can't happen. Well, then you send in the big guns. But that, I think, is another mindful reform that we could all agree on, which would also then do a lot to protect our country, protect our Bill of Rights. Again, what is the playbook? What is the guidebook? What does the rule book say? The Constitution says that you are an innocent person. The government is serving a warrant. You have not committed a crime. You're accused of something. You're accused of something, even if you're placed under arrest. That is an accusation. Not you're not guilty yet. So you have to protect those rights at every single cost.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Okay, there's so much to get to, but before I go to Dawn's news, I'd just like to play a quick clip, if I could. This is Joe Biden's suggestion. I just gave you two suggestions of what we can do in this country to better protect people's civil liberties and also to protect the police from bad apples within their own departments. And Joe Biden has a different suggestion, though. He was speaking yesterday, and he's going to come to Philadelphia today. This is what the presumptive Democrat nominee Joe Biden had to say with regards to police training. Cut number two.
And the idea that instead of standing there and teaching a cop who is an unarmed person of coming at him with a knife or something to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart is a very different thing. There's a lot of different things that can change.
You can kill a man with a knife. If your cop's going to use his weapon, they're taught to use that weapon to kill somebody. Like that's the job, is to stop that person. It's not to dent them in the leg. They have tasers for that. They've got rubber bullets for that sort of thing. But that's Joe Biden's big plan right there. I just wanted to share that with you because I thought that was just amazing. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. All right, let's see here now. I want to just play this real quickly. This is Michigan Sheriff Chris Swanson, who said we need to have a conversation. This is a sheriff after what happened with George Floyd. Cut 17.
There are calls all across the nation for police reform. I'm wondering what that change means, because you mentioned the name George Floyd, Laquan McDaniel, yeah, Botham Jean, Alton Sterling, and on and on. What does that mean? What does reform mean to you?
100%. I mean, we have to be held to the highest standard. Law enforcement can stop calling wrongs right. We have to do the right thing. There should be no such thing as a bad cop, because if they're bad, they shouldn't be the police. And we need to root those people out. And that means terminations. That means charges if they do wrong. The public expects more. George Floyd changed American policing. And that's why people want to be talked to. That's why they want to be listened to. And it starts with the police, Don. We have to be the ones who start the conversation, take the initiative, and bring it to the street.
Going to social media, by the way, just for a quick second. Let's see, a question that I was asked from BroClem66. Rich, doesn't eliminating a no-knock warrant give someone time to destroy evidence if the police wait them out? Well, the waiting out is really for the arrest warrant. You don't really wait out a search warrant. You knock, you knock, you knock, you knock, you knock. We're coming in. Like, you still come in with a search warrant, but you knock first. A no-knock is you just come in. You know, people in the middle of the night sometimes, usually, and then windows are shattered and doors get blown up and then people come in. A search warrant for that, which is often used in drug crimes, leads to death. Many occasions leads to death and injury. And, you know, from my perspective, that's for a search warrant. If you're knocking on the door, you're knocking on the door. Is there a chance you're going to flush the coke down the toilet? I mean, yes, there is. Or there's a chance you're going to destroy certain evidence. There's always a chance, right? But, you know, I'm not saying you knock and you sit in your car and you wait for days. I'm saying that with the search warrant, you knock. It's police. We're coming in. Open the door. After a few seconds, if they're not open the door, then you go in. Obviously, that's common sense. That's, but you're still knocking. Now, the arrest warrant's different. The arrest warrant is you're taking somebody into custody. When people are taken into custody, that's the most dangerous time for a police officer, because that person's liberty is now being taken away, so that people tend to get very, very upset and violent. So the arrest warrants are particularly dangerous. That's what I mean about waiting them out. You got the place surrounded, guy's under arrest, you have a warrant to arrest him. You know he's not going anywhere. If there's a situation, of course, where you think that there's people in the house that he may hurt, where there's people being held hostage. I mean, like I said, no rules should ever be used indefinitely. Like, there's always exceptions to every rule. Common sense. But unfortunately, these things are being used far too often. Johnny Mack says, no-knock search warrant that killed my Marine brother in Pima County, Arizona, a few years ago. They shot him 64 times. He died in front of his wife and two sons because of a no-knock search warrant. Some people, there's a lot of tragedies around that. And that's what I mean. It's time to reform that. Will it work in every situation? No, of course not. Can it work in most? Yes. And that's, I think, the key right there with that reform. 855-839-1210. All right, lots to digest. Your thoughts on all this. Always appreciate the check-in on social media from our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter. They matter a great deal, and they would love for you to go visit them right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. You know, I had a great time driving the family out to Western Maryland in our Volvo. beautiful, safe, and fun and fast. So please go say hello to them at Cherry Hill Volvo. All right. Dawn, good morning. It's been a big show, a lot to digest, and I am so glad you were here today. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. We're glad to have Zioli back this week. It is a crazy week. So much going on. Good morning. We have 60 degrees, cloudy this Tuesday, June 2nd. Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by Hint Water. So police right now are searching for criminals who they say vandalized at least 10 ATMs across the city of Philadelphia overnight and this morning. Police say these thieves are typically rushing into a convenience store in a neighborhood, setting off an explosive device, and then making off with the cash from the machine, or in some cases, taking the entire machine. So if you heard explosions over in the night, and a lot of people are tweeting out, anybody hear these explosions? That may have been what it was, according to police.
I thought there's that dye that explodes on the money, so it ruins it, doesn't it?
Well, that's what we're told, but I don't know.
The only reason I've never stolen an ATM machine, I thought that's what happens, and the money's useless.
I don't know. Is the dye inside there? I hope so. I hope
right? You can't go to the store and be like, here's all my purple money. And, yeah. You know, I mean, the bank, it doesn't work usually. So
if you see any neon purple painted people, there you go.
Report it to the cops. Right.
We have the National Guard, about 100 members of the National Guard and Philadelphia police still out in full force this morning after yet another night of looting and unfortunately destruction across the region. And this is the case across the country as well. Video has gone viral nationally after that large crowd of protesters was tear gassed as they converged on I-676 Vine Street Expressway in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw, as well as Mayor Kenney, defending their decision, saying that the tear gas was used after that crowd surrounded and then started rocking a state trooper's vehicle. And Daniel Outlaw saying that protesters threw rocks at the responding officers as well. So, by the way, the curfew is...
And Mayor Kenney is also out there saying that they did the right thing using the tear gas and everything else, right?
Yeah, he's defending it fully and says, yeah, we had the right, you can't do that. And now the curfew is off until like 8:30 tonight after the polls close because it's primary day.
That's right. It's primary day. Go vote.
So, yeah. So we want to just mention that one. Police are still on the scene of that South Philadelphia gun shop where police say the owner in his mid-60s killed an intruder who broke in with a group of looters. So this happened about 4:20, 4:30 this morning. Police say they got the 911 call. The owner was on the second floor of his gun shop. And this guy comes in, he hears somebody breaking in. This was captured on surveillance cameras, apparently. Four looters break in. The one guy goes to the second floor. Owner shoots him in the head and kills him right on the spot.
I got to think of all the places to break into and loot. A gun store is probably the last place you want to, right? I mean, don't.
Note to looters. Probably
note to looters. Yeah, don't. Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
I promised that I would give the update on New Jersey, because we love to say New Jersey.
New Jersey!
Governor Phil Murphy says, yes, starting June 15th, New Jersey enters the second phase. So June 15th, the hair salons person, oh no, excuse
oh,
me,
Oh, thank
the gyms.
You, King! Oh, the King's going to let us get our hair cut now. Thank you, Your Highness.
No, the gyms start in...
Oh, Your Highness, thank you. I can work out and get a haircut now. Thank you, Your Royalness.
You can get the haircut and personal care services, hair salons, barbershops. That's June 22nd.
Well, I got to wait till June 22nd to get my freaking haircut. I got to have a mullet until then.
And you got to have a mullet and to work out gyms.
No, 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 this king, Your Highness, I need a haircut now.
You must wait till June 22nd.
Where does he come up with June 22nd? Why June 22nd?
2-2. I don't know. 22nd.
Unbelievable. So outdoor when's your birthday? Your birthday's coming up.
Yeah, the 15th.
Days, right
before 15th, the president's
right.
Is
and
the
And when's 14th. The president's?
14th.
All right, 14th.
Gemini.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe it was in honor of the president's and my birthday that he'll allow outdoor dining and non-essential retail stores to open up mid-June. Yeah, that's it. He's wishing President Trump a happy birthday.
Oh, I can only imagine all the restrictions. Yeah, well, they're besties now, Phil Murphy and Donald Trump. They're buddies.
Donald's
I can
got
only
the
imagine all the restrictions that this jackass is going to put on outdoor dining.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
You got to bring your own forks and knives and your own plates and your own food. And cook it yourself and just sit there.
Yeah, so the gym's open then too, June 22nd.
This guy up in North Jersey, this restaurant guy, this guy's a genius, right? What he did was to get around the closure orders, but he's allowed to do delivery. So you know what he did?
What?
He rented one of those big flatbed trucks, put tables on it, and picked up the diners and then fed them while driving the truck around his parking lot.
Oh, that was smart. Because you're
moving. Because he said, I'm not, my restaurant is not open. I'm delivering food to them. They're just eating it in my truck.
What if you got a little food sick? You get a little dizzy. It's going
around. That's true.
A little
dizzy. Yeah, I guess.
Around.
I mean, I'm sure he probably wasn't going like real fast, but you know, that'd be funny as hell, right? Be like that scene in Stand By Me, you know?
Yes, exactly. So what else could possibly go wrong, as Zilli always says? The combination of the ongoing pandemic, and now we have all the looting and the riots and everything. Now, climate change experts and NOAA, they're forecasting that, yes, this is going to be a huge hurricane season. Hurricane season just started yesterday. So
awesome.
Yes. So here we go. They're saying they're predicting it will be an unusually busy hurricane season in 2020.
Beautiful.
And they're reminding all of us.
This is the best year ever.
Can 2020, you know, New Year's Eve, we'll all be like, 2020, please end.
Honestly, like, screw you, 2020. I also read now that in Russia, they have these like super ticks now that are coming.
Oh, my goodness.
Aggressive ticks are coming in Russia now. And they're also finding aggressive ticks now in New York State. So.
Oh, you were off. You didn't know, buddy. My dog got Lyme disease because it's one of the worst Lyme season, so everybody seriously be careful. He's on antibiotics, you know, for a month, and so this tick was on him. Yeah.
What did he say when he got it?
Oh boy, yeah.
And Dawn's dog talks.
You got to spray. You got please spray.
I thought you would. I thought you like set your yard on fire every night to kill.
I know. Well,
believe me. What happened? How did that happen?
You know, these deer, they jump. The fences have to be higher and higher. These jumping deer.
I would shoot deer. So my solution for ticks would be, first of all, DDT, and I know Stocker agrees with that. We just bomb everything with DDT. Then I would have machine gun turrets everywhere to shoot deer. You'd have the tick problem solved in like a day.
Yeah. I'm starting to agree with Zioli. I always was trying not to spray, but
I would shoot deer from my car. Like I would have, you know, if I could, like in Mad Max or something, have guns right on the car. I hit a deer once and it was thousands of damage, dollars in damage. And the deer got up and looked at me, gave me like the middle finger and kept going. It like wasn't even hurt by it. Thousands of dollars in damage. And the deer was like, phew.
And you're lucky you were okay.
I know, Dawn, you're right.
See, let's get to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. 77 degrees, cloudy today, but tomorrow we're really going to heat up tomorrow and into Thursday. We got 91 degrees tomorrow with afternoon storms and showers, about a 60% chance of those showers tomorrow. And then the weekend will cool off. It'll be nicer for the weekend, but the next 2 days are going to be a little stormy. Hint is pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors. Watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavors. I'm Dawn Zilli, Show News, radio.com.
Thank you, Dawn. By the way, I have a question.
Yes.
When did social distancing go away? Because it seems like all these protesters and the rioters and the looters, nobody's social distancing. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's the thing. We all just forgot about, you know, we forgot about it.
I'm so glad they cured the coronavirus. I'm so glad that thing has been cured now and that's gone.
That's the upside. We were in Ocean City over the weekend, I think I told you yesterday, and nobody, because we're out on the boardwalk, out on the beach, nobody was wearing a mask. Nobody.
The only people wearing masks now are Antifa. That's it. as they loot and pillage.
Yeah, but they're still identifying these guys.
Good. Good. I'm glad. I'm happy about that. But this whole thing is just amazing. Do you remember before all this, there were these social distancing warriors?
Yes.
Who would rat people out and they would snitch on people and they would also lecture you about not wearing a mask or being too close together. They're, I guarantee you, the same people that were probably on the parkway yesterday getting tear gas because they're all protesting and they're all mobbed together. None of them are social distancing.
That's true. But I bet the warm weather and the tear gas probably kills the coronavirus.
It probably does. You're right. I just sounded like Alex Jones there with that. I didn't mean to do that. I just had a thing in my throat. This is the worst year ever.
It is. It's crazy.
Ever. I remember, too, it wasn't too long ago that I was on social media saying that in America, no black man or any man, I didn't use race at the time, it wasn't really an issue that day, but I said, no person should ever be ripped off a bus for not wearing a mask. Do you remember that, Dawn?
Yes.
And I get all these social distancing mask warriors who clobbered me on social media about that. Well, he wasn't wearing a mask. That's wrong. And they were like, so now it's funny. Here we are today talking about all this. And I was getting lectured for saying that nobody should get physically dragged off a bus for not wearing a mask. And I got beat up for that from certain people because they were the virtue signaling social distancing warriors.
And now they just hope the buses are going to be back today. The SEPTA buses.
They're not all on fire?
Stop it. No, it is crazy, though. You're right.
You know who's an idiot is Chris Cuomo. Have I mentioned that? The lesser? Have I ever brought that up on the show?
A few times.
Now, I believe that minorities have the power to change their own problems, Dawn. Do you believe that in life?
Yes, I love. We're seeing it on social media. They're saying, we don't need you to be our voice. We don't need anybody else to be our voice.
Like, we don't need you to come and spray paint Black Lives Matter on our coffee shops. Like, we can, you know, like, we can handle it. Chris Cuomo disagrees. This is the lesser Cuomo now. Cut 16.
You run for the nomination. That the answers to this don't lie in the minority community. They lie with the majority, the people in power, the people with the influence. That's what changes culture. The minorities don't have the power to change their own problems, that this has to be a we. It can never be a me. Senator Harris, good luck to you going forward. Thank you for addressing these issues.
You take care, Chris. Thank you.
All right.
You're an idiot, Chris. Thank you. Minorities don't have the power to change their own problems.
Wow. I completely disagree with that.
Right?
I can't believe. See, now imagine if that were on a flip side and it were not, you know, imagine a conservative person saying that exact same thing. God. What would happen?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Is Greg...
What? Hey, how are you?
We heard
hey,
you.
Hey, how are you, Greg?
We heard you, Greg.
Heard you breathing. Your
yeah,
deep
we heard
breathing.
You. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm mute my microphone again.
No,
sorry
no,
about
no.
That.
It just sounded like Darth Vader.
Yeah, I thought it was like an editorial. Like, I don't know. Like, here they go.
Greg picked that cut for us. Thank you, Greg, for picking that cut.
No
I
problem.
I appreciate that. There's not a lot of funny stuff in the news today, unfortunately, but...
No.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. Is there anything fun, Greg?
No, you played it all.
That was it? The one clip?
That was it.
I don't make these cuts. I just pull what I see.
Greg, I need you to start making audio clips now. Of the lesser Cuomo saying idiotic stuff.
That's what I'll
about
do.
Minorities.
Well, that's what Joe's for.
That's what, Bill?
That's what parody director Joe Sebilia is for.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
The funniest thing I've seen is, speaking of, you know, what you're talking about, is when there were young African-American guys or just black guys in general going up to some of these white guys at these riots and saying, pull down that mask. Pull down the mask. Apologize to black people. And the guy's like, what? What? And it's like, it's hysterical.
Because, I think we have one of those clips, right? What
oh
do we
my
have?
Goodness.
I think we've got... let's see.
But they're making them show their faces because they're like, we don't want people to think we in the community are responsible. So I thought that was
Yeah, Greg, did I send you that clip? Did I send that? I thought I did. I'm not sure. Is that one of the ones here?
No, hello, I'm right here. I don't think so.
Right.
I pulled everything you sent me.
Maybe I forgot to send it. Yeah, so this guy, that's what he did. He goes, take off your mask. Show your face. Show your face. Big black guy was going after him. Show your face. Little scrawny little white kid.
Yes.
Take off your mask. Show everybody. I love the woman, the black woman in Philly who goes after the white Antifa members who are spray painting Black Lives Matter in the front of Starbucks. I like her, too. She's pretty tough.
Yes.
Cut 10.
Hey, sit in, look. I want you to know this is not.
Don't police people's way.
Let me tell you this.
Themselves.
This is not a black woman who's
don't
put in Black Lives
don't
Matter.
People.
I just want you to know that when. Right, but y'all doing that for us, and we ain't asked you to do that.
See?
Listen.
You're
don't,
at, you're,
don't, don't.
They're like, we're doing this for you. We're coming into your neighborhood and destroying your neighborhood for you.
Yeah, right.
We're doing that for you. We gotta show we're woke. Look at me, I'm woke. I'm spray painting. I'm destroying your businesses. Look at me. That's amazing, right? That's her answer. Like, I'm doing it for you.
Yeah. audacity.
Oh, that's so thoughtful of you to come into my neighborhood and destroy my businesses and my property. It's like, so thanks. Kind. Thank you for that. That's so nice. Why don't you go destroy your own neighborhoods and then to show us that you care?
It's a sin. We were kind of joking last, because Chestnut Hill's all boarded up. And so my kids were like, hey, how come they're not looting Chestnut Hill? I was like, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing in that DIY store or the ladies' boutique that they want to steal. I don't know. You know,
there's a DIY store?
Yeah, there's a do-it-yourself, like, learn how to do your own shelves, which is a cute. There are cute stores.
Well, you know, our buddy Katie Failinger has a whole YouTube channel on that.
Yes.
A do-it-yourself Katie Failinger channel.
That's right.
You get to watch Katie Failinger do things,
which is
very cool.
And she does a handstand.
Did you see that?
Awesome.
She's yoga now. She's doing handstands and
that
the best
like
part of the quarantine.
2 million views.
Yeah, Katie, right. It's like 50 million views. Katie Failinger doing handstands is the best part of the quarantine.
Yes.
It's the only good thing to come out of 2020.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay. All right. 855-839-1210. I want to read a little message I got this morning from a former police officer. Good morning, Rick. First of all, it's Rich, Mark, but I'll let that go. It's all right. I'm in a good mood today. I just got the last few minutes about of your show about serving a warrant. I was a cop in Philly for 32 years. Back in the 80s, wagon crews were used for warrant service. We would meet the detectives a few blocks away. The detectives would show the photo of the suspect and tell us about the job. They would tell us no one gets hurt. If he's not home, we would get him another day. One of us, along with a detective at the front door and the others in the rear, if possible. I don't ever remember kicking a door down for a simple warrant service. We had very, very few issues. All of a sudden, the police started this militarization, uniforms, weapons, vehicles, attitudes, the drug war, movies, TV shows, etc., brought us to the no-knock warrants. I was always opposed to it for minor drug sales. The attitude of arrest at any cost drives me nuts. It has caused so much friction in this country. I think about George Floyd and a counterfeit $20 bill. Each and every day, one of us could be passing around a $20 counterfeit bill and not even know it. No one life in America is worth a $20 counterfeit bill. They say one cop can make a difference in the world. We all just witnessed that. So thank you, Mark, for your service to the city and for your listener comments and listening to the show. We appreciate it very, very much. I got another question about the code of silence, the thin blue line. Somebody asked me about that. Primo said code of silence. He said, Rich, what about the code of silence among police? That's really a myth. It really is. I mean, it's not, like I said, cops don't want to protect bad cops. The mechanism is really not there for them to be able to be quiet about it. It's the system that protects bad cops. It's not cops who are protecting bad cops. It's the system. And so that's why if you get rid of qualified immunity, for example, that's one way that you can get rid of a system that protects bad cops. Good cops are not protecting bad cops anymore. This is not like the 70s in Serpico, and it's really not like that anymore. And you know, like these guys have families and they got friends. Do you think they want to walk around being associated with this cop who killed George Floyd, this former cop? Do you think they want to be associated with that? Do you think all my friends from the Philadelphia Police Department and these local cops around here that all listen to the show and come on the show, and you think these guys want to be associated with that guy? Hell no. No way do they want to be associated with that. They put their lives on the line to go out there and defend this country, defend our freedom, defend our Constitution. The people that abuse our freedoms and our Constitution and abuse the law make them look bad too. And so then they got to go around their friends and family and have people judge them. They didn't do anything wrong, but they got to get judged by that. So let me tell you, I've had a lot of beers in my life with cops. I've had a lot of drinks with them. I've spent a lot of time with them. For a civilian, I've probably spent more time with police than any other person, except for maybe somebody who's a perpetual criminal. And I've never once ever at a late night drink fest with cops have had them turn around and go, Zioli, I got to be honest with you. We need more bad cops. We need more crooked cops. We need more cops out there killing people who are unarmed and violating people's civil liberties. And we need more of that. Never. Not once. Doesn't happen. They will defend each other when they need to, obviously. But it's the system that protects bad cops, keeps them on the job year after year. It's why this cop, former cop now, who killed George Floyd, 18 different complaints against him, 18 different instances of where he was investigated for abuse of force and violating people's civil liberties. and he was still on the job for 20 years. That should not happen. That should not happen. But that's government. That's where government gets a pass. You know, the people in government service get a pass that you and I would never get in the private sector. Imagine having 18 major complaints against you at your job, right?
Yeah,
wouldn't
but
happen.
How do these three other cops, though, just stand by? How do you not just
I know.
Go?
I know.
It just bothers me.
It breaks my heart. That's why, like, I think about that, too, and I think about did none of them feel an obligation to protect this man on the ground and say, hey, he's down, back off, enough. That's the thing is, like, I just cannot fathom that for a moment, you know?
Did they fear this guy? Was he that bad that they just didn't want to deal with him? Like,
you know,
what?
That's a great question. I don't know. We're going to find out, obviously. And I was listening to Levin last night, as I mentioned, and he was saying the three blind mice, as he calls them, and he was saying that all these three cops are probably going to face charges that, yeah. You know, he believes too, because they're complicit in this. Yeah. They're 100% complicit in this. It's heartbreaking. It really is. Because you would think at least one of them would say, all right, enough. He's down. Stop. Yeah. The guy's crying. He's calling for his mother. Like, enough. Like, back up. You've got him in cuffs, man. He's down. But no, they never did, you know? They never did. Damn shame. Anyway, you still there?
Yeah. You think about nearly 9 minutes. Just take a timer and just let, you know, 8.5 or whatever it was, 8 minutes, 40 seconds. That's a long time.
It's a long damn time.
To stand there and just not do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. What John McNesby said yesterday. It's awful. It's absolutely. And so when I dig into this cop's background and his record, and I go 18 different yeah. times this guy's was looked into for abuse of force, abusing people's rights. I mean, and he was still on the job. Like, what the hell? How does that happen? You know?
And maybe that's it. Maybe those three other cops had complained about him or something. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
thought
maybe.
This guy is protected. Why?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's a real good point. Maybe they're bad too. I don't know. That's all the stuff that has to come out in this, and it will. Thank God. You know, that's the good news. Steven, who's a local cop in Jersey, says a code of silence is 100% myth. He says, I'm not losing my pension for a bad officer. And I know, I'm sorry. Hang on. Stupid freaking thing. Hang on.
What's wrong?
My workspace here is terrible. That's what it is, because I have to work from home. So I got to move things around. All right. A code of silence is 100% myth. I'm not losing my pension for a bad officer. And I know none who are willing to lose theirs either. There you go. I think that says it all right there. Boom.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen, for that. Ham wrapped in bacon for that. I will retweet that.
It was wonderful when they kneeled last night with the protesters, when our Philadelphia police.
Now, I saw a video that they were ordered to kneel, and is that the same one you're talking about, or is that different?
Well, I don't know if they were ordered, but there was somebody, you know, asking them to or saying that. I didn't know that they were ordered to.
I should look into that. I tell you, though, I mean, like I always say, it's a job I would never want to have. You're constantly second-guessed. It's dangerous. Yeah. You don't get paid enough. Like, you're away from your family at holidays, and it's a real, real tough job. That's what I mean. It's a real tough job, and people have to remember that, because it sucks. I wouldn't want to do it. In this day and age, no way would I want to do it. No way. But I'll tell you something else, too. If I was doing it, I would never want to be associated with this kind of a person, you know?
Right.
855-839-1210. Let me quickly go to Rich's call in New Jersey. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Rich?
I'm not bad. You know, George Floyd, unbelievable. They're letting criminals out of jail, and they're arresting this guy for a bad check, really. You know, I live in suburban, you know, New Jersey. My white neighbor cop and his white wife, we had a conversation, and everybody agreed it was horrible. The cops should be prosecuted, and the cops who were standing around not helping that guy.
Yeah.
And but I want to get to what Biden said. Listen. These cops, first of all, somebody's coming at you with a knife. Their intent is to kill you. And if you handcuff these cops and say, oh, shoot them in the leg, this is not like some Clint Eastwood movie, man. This is not Hollywood. This is real life. Those guys want to go home. My neighbor wants to go home. He wants to serve his community and then go home and be left alone with all this crap. You know? It's like the home shows they show where they're taking apart your kitchen, Rich, with a sledgehammer. That's for the cameras. Nobody's going to come in your house with a sledgehammer and hit a wall and knock it down, okay? That's not reality, man.
What do you mean with the sledgehammer? I lost you on that point. Sorry.
I'm saying it's like they're Joe Biden lives in a freaking alternate universe of Hollywood.
Gotcha.
You don't shoot people in the leg.
Yeah, no, you don't shoot people in the leg. Houses. It's stupid. Listen, Rich.
It's
Rich,
stupid.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Rich. I'm having trouble hearing you. Yeah, no, you don't. Shooting people in the leg is stupid. First of all, you could still die from a gunshot wound to the leg. Like, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. His point is dumb. He's not a very bright guy. He's a terrible candidate. And we'll see what he says today in Philadelphia. All right, 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I thought the president's comments were great last night. I think the president has a right. He's got to protect. He has to protect this country. And it's very important to do so. And I think what he said, and I'll play the clip again a little bit later in the show, is really important last night if you missed it. Glad you're here. Do not go away.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.